This is the Business of Leadership Series Minute with your host, the best-selling author of Don't Buy a Duck, and founder of MarketingStrategyHero.com, Derek Champagne.
I am super excited about our guest today, New York Times best-selling author of Love is the Killer App, How to Win Business and Influence Friends, and his most recent book on sales collaboration, Deal Storming, the Secret Weapon That Can Solve Your Toughest Sales Challenges. Tim Sanders, welcome today.
Derek, I'm glad to be with you.
I think a lot of times when we do pay in, the way we're validated is we see some kind of reciprocity or at least some kind of validation of that we're doing it so that we continue. So that's a great mindset. I really like that.
And let me go wonky a little bit here psychologically, because sure. I study psychology a lot. You have to in the world of leadership. Right. Leadership is half psychology and half grit. The norm of reciprocity is one of the deepest seated instincts in Western culture. It is just as strong as our taboo with incest, okay? It's that strong. When you're a little kid and you go to the restaurant and the server brings you the cute little pancakes with the funny face and she goes to the trouble to put the cherry and she sets it in front of you and you dig in with your fork, your mom slaps you upside the head and what does she tell you?
Yeah, say thank you.
You come home from school and they've been picking on you at school, even though you're the same size they are, and you tell your dad they're picking on me. He says, boy, what does he say to you? Stick up for yourself.
Right, yeah.
Reciprocity is a cadence that right. parents have, and it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing, I guess. Pay your debts, you know, push back. But that doesn't mean we should expect that as leaders. That's a very dangerous idea. As a leader, I'd rather mentor somebody and think I've just created a new mentor than have him thank me on LinkedIn or send me a Starbucks gift card, because that's not going to improve the world 1%, right? So for those listening, you know, the word love is a scary word in business because it's often misunderstood. And I can tell you, Derek, when I went to my publisher in New York and said, I got this idea, I want to write a book about love in business, they went, whoa, can we talk about something safer? Because that's a weird deal. We don't love people. Love doesn't belong at work. And I'm like, wow, it doesn't make any sense to me, because I've had a chance to hang out with some of the best leaders. They use that word all the time. So what I had to figure out is the difference between the personal love we have for our family members and the professional love we have as leaders, because it's different. And here's why. We have a social contract at work to do our job and to think about the company's survival and to meet our charter that the owners or the shareholders or the investors get their money back. And that is a moral obligation. We can't, out of some sense of love, let people take advantage of the company, because that's not what I'm talking about. Sure. So I came up with this definition, and I know it's going to be kind of jargony, but I call it biz love. It's a particular brand of love that we as leaders bring to work every day. This is the kind of love where you share your intangibles, your knowledge, your network, and your human compassion to promote success in other people. And as a leader, when you think about the customer experience, you put love as the central motivation when you're designing that experience, meaning you care about the customer's happiness and satisfaction as if they were you. And that's what I mean. I believe that a smart leader is a tough love person. Herb Kelleher was originally referred to inside Southwest Airlines as a love cat. That's where I got that phrase. I used it in the book. Okay? If you've ever met Herb, this dude is a tough dude, okay? If he loves you, he's going to love you like your grandmother loves you, with a lot of accountability.